702. 702. On 92.7 and 106 FM. Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and on DSTV channel 856.
7 minutes past 6 o'clock. The Money Show with Bruce or Ray tonight is brought to you by APSA Corporates and Investment Banking, the bank that believes long-term partnerships deliver sustainable results. That's Africanacity. APSA is a registered FSP. Well, coming up on the program this evening, a better day on the markets, which is good news, I suppose, but then there's bad news. That's the lights have gone out again and again, asking shortly what this means for our country. And are we putting too much reform pressures on our president, also Tito Mboweni and Pravin Gordhan, or do they get an A plus for effort, but they may be just failing us? I'd like your input on this as well. Please do SMS me 31702 or 31567. I'd like to hear from you. What's your take on this? I mean, do we need to be more patient with changing the overall situation, or is enough enough? Do we need to come up with some sort of other plan? Because, I mean, stage two, then it goes on to stage four, and on it goes and on it goes, and eventually, we just don't have any lights on. Then later on, I'll be looking at the best bits of the Money Show. And of course, it's Friday. It means it's a brutal biz quiz. It's just up for fun tonight. But I'd like to see if you are the overall champion tonight. Also like to hear from you. Do give me a call. 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567.
702. 702 for the curious. On 92.7 and 106 FM.
Right, looking at an article by Daniel Silk, political economy analyst at the Political Futures Consultancy. Now it reads, are we putting too much reform pressures on President Cyril Ramaphosa, Tito Mboweni, or maybe Pravin Gordhan, or do they get an A-plus for efforts, but they failed optimistic South Africans? And that's the thing, the lights have gone out once again. We've had SAA this week, which has gone into business rescue, and the list goes on and goes on. Daniel Silk joins us this evening. Good evening, Daniel. Welcome to the Money Show.
Thanks. Very good to be with you.
Right. We have our new dawn. We had it about a year or so ago. Is it darkest before the dawn? Where are we going with this?
Yeah, look, it's not a good day. I'm sitting here in load shed in Cape Town, so I'm not jumping for joy. I think that two ways of looking at this. Either one has to take the glass half full view that we are now dealing with the accumulated rot of the last decade or so on a variety of fronts, not just in terms of state capture, but in terms of non-existent policy, bad governance in general, and ideological myopia. 10 years cumulatively, year after year, you get to a position where you have failure across many measurements. And I think, sitting in the dark stage four load shedding is a perfect example of that. SAA and business rescue, perfect example of that. And, of course, the other associated issues with other SOEs like PRASA and et al. So, that's the sort of point where one has to understand that remedies for our problems is going to be slow and incremental. And that this new dawn, I think, will change the way we measure time, in a sense. It's not a 24-hour dawn. In fact, it could take many years for us to recover. But the glass half full scenario, right, is that we've got to a point where it's grim, I think, across many different measurements for many different industries. And I think there's a recognition at the very least of areas of failure. And there's a discussion now building within the ANC as the key interlocutor here that some sort of ideological shift is needed. And convincing all parties within the ANC of that ideological shift is really going to be the make or break for President Ramaphosa over the course of the next year, 24 months or so.
But Daniel, does the ANC actually have a solid policy? We have Tito Mboweni on the one side, and he has sort of late night statements. And on the other side, we've got our president. The ANC just seems to be lacking in solid policy.
Well, I think, the ANC also is the sum total of the last 25, 26 years post-1994. A complex organization made up of different and disparate ideological strains, interest groups, patronage networks, et al. And I think here, too, you've got, a reasonably pragmatic faction in the Ramaphosa faction, to which I'd include certainly the Minister of Finance and also Pravin Gordhan. But they have to battle the remnants, the ideology, the positions of personalities, interest groups that have taken stakes within the ANC over the last generation or so. So when you factor that in, you see how difficult it is to really change the narrative, to change the way of thinking within the ANC. And perhaps this is going to take even longer because you really need to change the personalities, you need to change the composition of the caucuses within the ANC at various levels, the NEC as well. And until such time as you do that, you get a few key figures like the president and, of course, these other senior ministers in the financial cluster. They're almost ahead of the ANC. And it's always dangerous when you're ahead of your own party because your party has to play catch-up. And I think that's where we're at. We can't move because the party hasn't played sufficient catch-up yet to its key leadership figures, including the president.
So while they play that catch-up, I'm worried about ratings agencies. I think Moody's in March next year, they are scheduled to maybe pronounce on us once again. It may take nothing for them to start frowning and thinking, we've lost patience now. It's load-shedding once again. It's game over. It's junk status.
Yes, I think that time is now clearly of the essence. There's a certain urgency. You get the impression, talking to key government people, that there is an acknowledgement of the urgency. We've seen both finance minister and the deputy finance minister just speak of the urgency for change, of wanting to accept the Treasury document with a certain greater degree of importance and immediacy. That's good for us. But I think time is running out, because if we don't act in the course of the next few months, with a view to the budget announcements at the end of February, we run into the 2021 local government election cycle. And when we start, as you know, to move into an election cycle, political parties become very reluctant, especially the ANC feeling vulnerable. They become very reluctant to commit themselves to any kind of dramatic structural change that clearly is needed. You've got to do the stuff now before it enters the electoral cycle mode, and we've really only got perhaps the first half of next year to get things done, or at least attempts to kickstart some sort of new initiatives.
Speaking about new initiatives, what's your take on business rescue for SAA? I mean, is it just long overdue?
Well, it is long overdue. The accumulated losses, the contribution of the taxpayers to this over the last decade has been quite astonishing and quite distressing, I think, for all of us, right? It's a necessary step. I think it is the lesser of the two evils when compared to what could have been immediate liquidation and the cessation of operations just before Christmas. And I think it's important because there's a litmus test here. If you can somehow get a restructuring right, whether that means simply positioning SAA for a different role in future, perhaps privatizing some of the divisions, perhaps even finding a private equity partner, and keeping the flag, I suppose, flying on the tail of a few airplanes around the world, you do set an example, a potentially successful example, for other state-owned enterprises. And I think that's why this is a critically important moment for the broader macro position in South Africa. If you don't get this restructuring right and it all sort of falls apart, it's going to be quite difficult to sell a perhaps vaguely similar restructuring to some of the other SOEs that are in distress.
The union seems to be buying into SAA and the whole initiative when it comes to business rescue, but they are sort of hesitant on viewpoints. I was looking at a statement from NUMSA saying, we welcome this, but you didn't involve us. Without the unions, there could still be trouble.
Well, I think it's going to be quite difficult for the unions to really prevent the sort of restructuring. It's almost out of their hands. Yes, they can go the legal route as opposed to the labor relations route, and I suppose the strike route. But I just don't think that they themselves are in the equation. Let's be honest about it. I think this is why we've gone the business rescue route as well. It prevents really the unions from having the same influence that would have been the case had we sort of rambled on again for another 6-9 months or so. I think that the COSATU supporting unions are beginning to understand that the rubber has hit the road, or the tarmac, as I say, when dealing with SAA. And I think there's an effort within the alliance to begin this process of educating the COSATU affiliates that there is indeed a willingness now to look at the potential public-private partnerships that are needed across the board in many of the SOEs. Those outside of the COSATU alliance fold, I think, are more difficult or more intransigent to deal with. But now I think where the rubber has hit the tarmac, the choice for unions is either no jobs or some jobs. And I think that's a very stark choice that even the most disruptive unions will have to consider quite carefully, and perhaps will come to the party on making that kind of choice.
It's interesting, you know, Daniel, because you said the P word, privatisation, and very often that sort of spurs on anger, spurs on unions not being able to accept it. But it's interesting that you do say that, that, you know, privatisation is the way to go. Are we getting into a situation now where it's better to maybe close some of the doors at parastatals, maybe to say it's enough is enough, it was great 20 years ago, but not anymore?
Well, I think Ronnie makes a good point in terms of certainly SAA, and it's perhaps, you know, difficult to apply some of the issues relating to an airline to, let's say, Eskom or even to PRASA for that matter. You know, the questions about an airline are, have got some macro significance. Do we really need a national airline? Have airline operations have changed as a result of the Middle Eastern carriers, as a result of new long-haul aircraft? You know, is there any value in a great hub in Johannesburg when planes can fly much longer distances from City A to City B? If that's an airline, it's actually an airline-related issue. I think that we are understanding now within the AMC that the private sector increasingly is becoming now a potential driver of greater cooperation. And that's a plus, I think. We've had to get to this position of today, of this week, of the general negativity, of the low growth, of the potential recession that we now may go into if we have negative growth in the fourth quarter. We've had to get to this. It's got worse before it gets better. But I think it is a realization of that. And, you know, from an ideological point of view within the ANC, it's far better from the ANC's point of view to have public-private partnerships rather than just go with crude privatization. It can allow the ANC to begin to understand that the private sector can help and can deliver and can create jobs with a more efficient state sector in partnership. And at least as an interim stage, I'd rather see cooperation between the private and public sector rather than sort of the more crude calls for just, you know, privatizing absolutely everything. I think the ANC philosophically hasn't moved completely for sure, and it needs to see that the private sector is an honest broker as well when it comes to setting the course right for South Africa.
Interesting discussion. Political economy analyst at Political Futures Consultancy, Daniel Silk, great to have you on The Money Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Connect. Engage. Change. This is 702. This is 702. For the curious.
On the line is Mashudu Rapeta, and president of the National Transport Movement Union. Good evening, Mashudu. Now, you've been listening to our conversation on privatization. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening to you and the listeners. I am the president of the National Transport Movement, but I just wanted to reassure the public that we have met the shareholder, the government, with relation to SAA business rescue. Mm. We are briefed, and we are pleased that this process will be handled under the supervision of the shareholder itself. We believe that the shareholder took long to act since 1994.
Well, Shudu, just to stop you there, I mean, should the shareholder be sort of governing this? Should it not be up to the business rescue practitioner to do what they want to do, independent of everybody else?
Yes, the shareholder has got all the unions that the business rescue practitioner is an officer of the court. The mere fact that there are other unions that are not comfortable is because they've got different agenda and the different interests. As for us, we know that we have packaged very radical key initiatives since last year, and we believe that our first meeting with the business rescue practitioner, there is no doubt that he will consider those.
Yeah, well, it's good to see that you're there, Mashudu Rapeta, president of the National Transport Movement Union.
The Money Show. The Markets.
Joining us is Tato Mashego, portfolio manager at Mvuno Nala Asset Management. Tato, good evening.
Good evening, Ray. Sanlam Private Wealth.
Oh, Sanlam Private. I'm so sorry, you know. Mm. There we go. You see, Google doesn't work anymore, I tell you. All right, a strong finish today.
Yes, we did have a strong finish to the day. Obviously, there was a lot of data that came out from the US. We had initial jobless claims numbers, which were better than expected, as well as unemployment figures now at 3.5% from 3.6% last month. So strong signs that the US economy continues to be resilient, and that encouraged the market.
Just take us through some of the movers and shakers. I mean, it's very easy on a Friday. You get very excited very often because the whole board looks up and it's lovely. But it's been a bit of a sort of a topsy-turvy week. Take us through some of the movers and shakers. Who did very well?
Well, given the very positive data coming out of the States, you had some clear sector moves. So precious metals, gold and platinum stocks were underperformers, between 4 and 3% down across the board. Whereas we had some positive moves in what could be termed the SA Inc. shares, so some of the mid-cap industrials showing some signs of positivity, which is encouraging.
Yeah. It appears that tensions are easing between China and the United States. But I say this with caution because we all get very excited and the market seems to stabilize. Mm-hmm. But then on Monday, that man with the yellow hair does things and things change.
Well, appearance and reality can always be diverge, as we've all seen many, many times this year. And the president of the U.S. did say that a trade deal, or he'd be comfortable with a trade deal happening after elections next year. And surprisingly, the market brushed that news aside and continued to push the S&P 500 upwards. So it's very confusing at this stage how people are interpreting the potential of a phase one deal. But I wouldn't bet the farm on it at this stage.
Yeah, I wonder what the Chinese have to say about that. Mm. Sort of pick your brain a little bit. A story from the JSE this week. I mean, investors selling their equity this year in large numbers, billions going out of the JSE. Talking about international investors, you're thinking about our president, Cyril Ramaphosa. He wants investment to come in. It just doesn't seem that sort of that sentiment is there.
Yeah, indeed. Over the past, I suppose, decade post the great financial crisis, you saw large inflows into emerging markets in general. And South Africa initially had the perception of being high quality in terms of management companies, in terms of fiscal structure and the way the economy was run and institutions and so on. And in the past two or so years, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of corporate scandals and obviously a lot of inquiries into state capture and so on. And so the perception from global fund managers is that South Africa is not as high quality as we thought it was. And when you don't have the growth which you have in other emerging markets, that leads to massive outflows. So you either high quality in the sense of strong institutions, strong management teams, and so on, or you may not have those assets, but you have a fast-growing economy, plus 5%. And at the moment, we don't have either of those in the eyes of global fund managers.
But it's interesting. I would have thought after what happened with state capture, KPMG, they seem to have righted the ship somewhat. Mm. Not sure what sentiment is like there. But you would have thought after all of this, Steinhoff as well, it's been a while now. That sentiment would have returned. There were a few bad apples, but they seem to have been weeded out.
Indeed, there were a few. But then we have the likes of Tongaat as well, which was somewhat more recent. And as in addition to that, the perceived slow pace of reform when it comes to state-owned enterprises, and global investors were of the view that these things would happen rather quickly with the new administration coming into place. And unfortunately, it hasn't happened as quickly as some people would have wanted it to.
Yeah. Is the damage maybe bigger than we thought it was? It's very easy to come in and, like I was saying with Daniel, we have a new dawn, we have a new way about us. But is the damage so deep that it's going to take maybe decades to sort this out?
Well, luckily, or should I say rather, we've been in worse situations before, whether it was the Rubicon moment in the mid-80s, or in the early 2000s, when our currency touched 18, 19 rands to the dollar. And we saw massive outflows in both of those instances. And following that, our local market was significantly undervalued and it presented strong buying opportunities. So if you want to look at the positive side of things, one could say that we've you've been in worse situations before. And when you're in these low points in the cycle, you do have strong buying opportunities if you're looking at equities.
It could be worse. We could be having Brexit.
No, indeed.
You see, not as bad as that. Tata Mashego, thank you so much for coming in from Sanlam Private Wealth. I really do appreciate you coming in on The Money Show.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield is proudly brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, the bank that believes long-term partnerships deliver sustainable results. That's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP.
Right, so time for the best bits of the Money Show. And earlier in the week, we received the news that the country's latest GDP figures shrank by 0.6% in the third quarter. It hasn't been good news for us. This made it the fourth quarter of decline during President Cyril Ramaphosa's tenure. Now, Bruce spoke to Azayam Klanga, Alexander Forbes economist. He explained why government leaders seem inept or not willing to take us out of the economic doldrums.
It is all about the politics, and perhaps it's an indication that there are vested interests across different interest groups. If you look at labor, they look at the economy from their own point of view. You look at the private sector, they look at the economy from their own point of view. And that point of view does not push South Africa Inc. It pushes individual pockets and stomachs. Therefore, there is no congruence to say what will benefit South Africa Inc. as a whole is to do these reforms that are required. Check, for instance, the issue at SAA, the classic example, one entity that is not profitable, yet there is a move to continue to sustain it using the fiscus. For what good reason? One fails to understand it, given that the South African economy is well-serviced from an airline point of view, and they don't service the poor of the poor. They don't transport the bulk goods that are required to pick up our exports. So it just shows a lot of these decisions perhaps indicate how difficult politically it is, but also indecisions from our government leader.
I mean, if your name is Cyril Ramaphosa or Tito Mboweni, the last thing you want your name on top of is a headline that says downgrade, that says recession. You're supposed to be the reform guys. You're supposed to be the people who are going to take this economy out of the red and into the black, who are going to drive growth, which is going to create jobs, which is going to uplift the entire economy, including the people who so desperately need it most, and that is the legions of people who are unemployed in our country. And if this economy does go into the red, it then is under the watch of Mboweni and Ramaphosa. And I can't understand for a moment why they would be prepared to have their names associated with failure, because failure it would be.
Look, I think ultimately the South African economy is going to push all the role players to come to the table.
Right now, speaking about SAA, yesterday Bruce spoke to SAA's board member Martin Kingston about the troubled airline entering into business rescue. He explained why the board decided to fly the business the routes that they do anyway.
The choice for the board was very simple. It was accessing that 4 billion rand, which is otherwise not available, to ensure that we can have a measured, thoughtful approach, not by us, not by government, but by a seasoned business rescue practitioner, or to place it immediately into liquidation, which in our judgment as a board, and I think is government's judgment as well, would have been catastrophic. Not just catastrophic for SAA and its subsidiaries, catastrophic for the 10,000 people who work there, the 50,000 people who depend upon it, but more importantly for the aviation sector more broadly and the country and the economy at large.
What?
So we bought ourselves some time, but in buying ourselves some time, and when I say ourselves, I mean SAA, the board has had to step back, the business rescue practitioner is going to have to take much more draconian action than might otherwise have been the case in a long-term turnaround strategy.
So what can a business practitioner achieve that you couldn't as a board?
Well, first of all credit up to yesterday is now frozen. So he has a clean slate and 4 billion rand to see what he can do with the businesses of SAA. That's the airline itself, that's Mango, that's SAAT and Air Chefs. Hopefully some, maybe all of them can be salvaged in some shape, size, or form. He has the ability to ruthlessly attack not only the cost base, but make sure that those aspects of the strategy that withstand scrutiny can be implemented at speed. But I have to say at speed, because he doesn't have either unlimited access to funds now or time to be able to stem the loss of confidence that has arisen over the past several weeks. But he is not fettered by a board that is overseeing him or a shareholder set of constraints that, as you know, exists between all SOEs in South Africa and the shareholder, not our shareholder specifically. It's a general set of constraints that exist.
Has the board resigned? Is the board gone?
No, the board has not resigned. There still needs to be a board. It has fiduciary responsibilities, but it has no real authority or control over the underlying businesses.
All right, so that was SAA. Let's talk about CSA, Cricket South Africa. And you would have heard now with Buchle, there are problems. Shirley Zinn, one of the five independent directors on Cricket South Africa's board, tendered her resignation. That was on Tuesday, citing CSA's failure to adhere to good corporate governance standards. A few weeks ago, she left Shoprite Holdings after a ruckus AGM that almost saw the ousting of Christo Visser as chairperson of the group. She told us why she always puts her money where her mouth is.
I mean, these are very, very trying times and very difficult decisions that one has to make. And the question always is, if I stay, can I change it? If I go, will it make a difference? You know, what will change? And for me, you know, the first thing is, if it's out of alignment with my personal, you know, sense of values, and I feel it's out of alignment with MRIs and charters and everything that is required of us from a King IV perspective, from a Companies Act perspective, then, you know, I really need to reflect on and interrogate myself to say, is this right? You know, and if it's not right, what are you actually doing? And so it goes beyond the money, really, to the principle that says, you know, now you really got to put your money where your mouth is and do the right thing. You want to be a role model. You want to be a good leader. You want to, change things, and we see the amount of, you know, scandals that have emerged, and that is because people, you know, somehow think that if they look the other way, things will get better or go away, you know. And I think we need to be brave and courageous and stand up for what we believe in. Otherwise, you know, what is the purpose? What is the meaning of life if you can't do that?
And then finally, the new publisher of Destiny magazines, that's legend Mankele, was this week's shapeshifter. Bruce asked him what gives him faith in the future of print.
I think, you know, there's a lot of research that has gone into it. Knowing that Destiny wasn't a dying brand and people still wanted to hear from, you know, the brands. I mean, when Kanye announced that she was closing, a lot of people, you know, were kind of hurt and affected. Aside the employees, which are also very dear to me, you know, which is why there's a two-sided, I guess, reason here. So I'm in the industry and I believe that we are in a content era, you know. A platform like that cannot die. But a platform like that that has been, I guess, a mentor to so many people, just like myself, needs to exist. And, you know, some of us have the answer in how to move this platform forward. So I think that's what gives me the faith. Like, I've done my research, I know what's needed, and in fact I think I'm going to grow the platform much more, you know.
I hope so, because I love nothing more than the feel of a magazine. I mean, you're in an airport, you pick up a magazine, it's short, sharp reads, it's well written, if it's well done, the layout should be beautiful, the photography should be beautiful.
Yeah.
There's an experience contained between the covers of a magazine. And depending on the frequency, you either get a very glossy, high-quality publication or one that's put together more quickly.
Yeah.
And I really hope it succeeds. But it's critical. I mean, a large proportion of your pages need to be covered by advertising. How... Yeah. Have advertisers responded to the regeneration of the brand?
If I can tell you, I mean, I don't know if anyone will believe me, but there are so many people that are coming and knocking at our door saying, thank you very much. We didn't know where to advertise. These brands spoke to a certain part of our country that no one could reach, you know?
Well, that was the new publisher of Destiny magazine, legend Mankele. Now, I hope you've been listening, because it's time for the Brutal Biz Quiz, just for fun tonight. We're just having lots of fun tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a series of questions. And if you are the last person standing, then you are the champion of the Money Show for this week, the champion of the Money Show. So all you have to do is give me a call, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Here's the first question for this night, for tonight's Brutal Biz Quiz. In terms of Chapter 6 of the Companies Act, what is the process used to rehabilitate a financially distressed company? I'll give it to you again. Very easy. In terms of Chapter 6 of the Companies Act, what is the process used to rehabilitate a financially distressed company? Give me a call, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567.
The Money Show. The Brutal Biz Quiz.
The Brutal Biz Quiz. So this is how it works. If you don't know, I'll ask you a series of questions. And if you get all the answers right and you are the last person standing, well, you're the champion of the Money Show for this week. In fact, we'll give you bragging rights and you can phone up Bruce on Monday and give him a hard time. How does that sound? So the first question is, in terms of Chapter 6 of the Companies Act, what is the process used to rehabilitate a financially distressed company? Let's go to Morris in Newlands. Hi, Morris.
Hello.
Hi, the answer is?
Business rescue.
Absolutely. You're quite right. Well done, Morris. SAA, as you know, filed for voluntary business rescue. That was this week. All right, Morris, number two. Liquidation is the process of winding up a company. What is the process of winding up an estate of a person? Oh, that's a difficult one, isn't it?
That's winding up an estate of a person.
Yes.
It's the liquidation and distribution of an estate.
No, Morris, it's not. It's a difficult one, this one. Liquidation is the process of winding up a company. What is the process of winding up an estate of a person? All right, let's go to Benny in Cape Town. Benny, do you have an answer for me?
Yeah, I'll do the pass.
Are you, what, you'll take a pass? Benny?
Yeah, is it not liquidation?
Liquidation
is for companies.
No, that's for companies. No, Benny. The shin is right. You guys are getting it. Come on now. It's very easy, okay? Because, yes, a liquidation or going for business rescue, that was for SAA. They avoided liquidation. But what happens if, say, for instance, you're winding up an estate of a person because that person couldn't pay their bill, so all of a sudden you have to go off to court? Let's go to Itumeleng. Hi.
It's sequestration.
It is. You saved us, Itumeleng. You're quite right. It is sequestration. Now, liquidation is the process of winding up for a company, but it's a sequestration, that's for an individual. All right, number three, Itumeleng. What do Ellerine Furnishes, Optimum Coal Mine, and also African Banks Holding Company, Abil, all have in common? Kind of gave you the answer earlier on. What do they all have in common? They all went into something. African Banks Holding Company, Abil. Then we also had the Optimum Coal Mine, Ellerine's Furnishes. They all got into trouble, along with SAA. They went into
business rescue.
Ah, there we go. You see, I'm helping you a little bit. It's not so brutal today. You're quite right. That's exactly what happened. You saw what happened now with SAA as well. All right, here's a hard one. Before newly elected Johannesburg Mayor Jeff Makubo, that was this week, it was Herman Mashaba. You remember him. He's just stepped down. And before him, it was Parks Tau. Who came before Parks Tau? That was 2000 to 2001. Yo, it's a hard one.
Was it not Mbazima Chilowa?
No, it wasn't. I'm sorry. That's going back a couple before then, actually. All right. Let's go to Mohammed in Lanesha. Hi. All right, Mohammed, just turn your radio down. We'll come back to you in a second. Enoch in Brackenhurst. Hi.
Hi, man. The answer is Amos Masondo.
It is indeed. It is Amos Masondo. Now, Makubo received 137 votes this week to clinch the top job in the city of Johannesburg. Bruce spoke to Dr. Crispin Olver, author and local government expert, about this. All right, here we go. Which bank is not renewing its sponsorship deal with Cricket South Africa next year? It was a big story in the news today.
Standard Bank.
Correct, absolutely. All sorts of shenanigans there. It comes at a time where Cricket South Africa has come in for heavy criticism after revoking accreditation for some journalists. You would have heard with Bongani this week, that didn't work out too well for them. All right, here we go. Final question, Enoch. I want to make you the champion of the Money Show. Which is considered one of the big four technology companies alongside Amazon, Apple, and Facebook? It's the fourth one. What's the other big one? Amazon, Apple, and Facebook.
Twitter.
No, it's not, funny enough. It's not. I also would have thought that as well. But no, I mean, Twitter is actually owned by one of those. What's the other one that you use every single day? Pavashni, hi, good evening. Welcome to The Money Show.
Is it Apple?
It's not. No, it's not part of that. So let me read it for you again. Google says over here, which is considered one of the big four tech companies alongside Amazon, Apple, and Facebook. Let's go to Janet Newlands. Hi, Janet.
Hi, I thought it was Google.
You would be right. On Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
You know that actually makes you the champion of the Money Show. Do you know that?
Done. So you Thanks
can
so much.
Phone up Bruce on Monday and give him hell, courtesy of me, okay?
I will do. Thank you very much.
Janet, have a great weekend.
You too.
Cheers. Bye. Janet in Newlands. Now, on Tuesday, Google co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin announced that they are stepping down from their roles at Alphabet. That's the search engine's parent company. Well done to Janet.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield is proudly brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, the bank that believes long-term partnerships deliver sustainable results. That's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP.
Wrapping up the Money Show with some of your SMSs. One says, complaint, entire Pretoria East power failure. Why are we paying taxes if no one answers our calls on Tswane's call centre? Disrespectful to their paying customers. First, I was put on hold for 15 minutes and then cut off. That is from Anonymous. I feel your pain tonight. Another one says, desperate action by all citizens to withhold payments of electricity accounts or force this government into an action plan. That's Jan. Jan, I don't think that's a very good idea. Because if we do that, then everything is going to crash and then we will have no power whatsoever. Whatever you do this weekend, though, be safe and be warm. It's 7 o'clock.